Welcome to the Charrosteca podcast, where we believe our families didn't come this far for us to just come this far. I am your host, Francisco, with my co-host,
Conrado Bautista.
Bro, what do you think about the interview that we just did with Mauricio?
I'm still writing notes down. And I'm still trying to, like, God, I got to be on a plane right now and go and do something over there.
To San Antonio. Man, so we interviewed Mauricio. And in 4 short years since he started, let me put it to you this way. He went from he wanted to get into real estate. Like a lot of people, like, oh, I want to invest. But he started with a motorhome. Like, you know what? I just need to get started.
Dude.
Now, from 2015 to 2019, he owns 234 units. Wow, and he's just closing on a 30-something unit property. Don't you want to hear how he did that?
Wow.
I want to hear how he did that. Right? And the listener wants to, but before we do, what is the review of the week?
All right. Speaking of San Antonio, this person, Erica, S-A-T-X, San Antonio, Texas. Temas hermosos. That's the title of this review. It says this. Cada tema que tienen está a todo dar. Aprendes de cada uno de cada episodio. Eres un modelo la gente Mexican American. Hijos que vienen de sus papás de México con su dream para vernos crecer. Sígale adelante. Vamos, Charrosteca.
Bro, this podcast right here is things that Mauricio and a lot of people have paid thousands and thousands of dollars to get this advice. And I thank for Mauricio for giving this advice for free to our listeners. And at the end, if you guys want to reach out, he put his email and his social media tag, so you guys could reach out to him if you guys have any questions of the interview. And if you guys have questions, if you guys want to get into multifamily investing. Apart from that, we already know we don't have any sponsors. We're doing this from our own free time. And we don't have a fee. But if we do have a fee, please just share, you know, take a screenshot that you're listening, tag us, put it on your Instagram stories or in your newsfeed. And if you can, just go on to the iTunes app, search for Charrosteca and give us a review. That means the world and that allows other people to find our podcast, kind of like how he found us.
Yeah. Oh, you want to talk about that real quick? ¿Cómo nos encontró? This is so crazy how it happens, pero... It also, if you know of anybody that might enjoy this, do pásaselos. Just tag or send it over to them to send the link. But this gentleman looked us up by going to the search and he just typed in mariachi podcast. And boom, we come up. How? I don't know. But yeah, I think it's because of the reviews, right?
Everybody, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're the hot and trendy. What is the Apple call us?
New and worthy.
There you go. Hot and trendy.
All right, guys. Enjoy this podcast with Mauricio.
All right.
Conrado, we preach about multifamily and investment real estate, and you own property and I own property. Our next guest took it to another level. We're talking about over 234 units now. And he's in escrow right now to close on a 30-something unit property. That's taking it to... And he's just getting started, bro.
Oh, damn.
This is a podcast where you're going to have an individual that from the bottom of his heart, you know, he could literally just be like, you know what? I'm going to hoard this information, not share it, and just go on, you know? Like, drive to the sunset and that's my life. But no, he reached out. He reached out and he wants to give back. So he knows that our listener is predominantly Latino, you know, Latina. Yeah. And he wants to help out his people. And I want to welcome to the show to Mauricio. How's it going, bro?
Hey. How's it going? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No, I more than anything, I appreciate you reaching out because you actually hit us up and then me and you just started vibing and having a conversation. Next thing you know, you started throwing how many units you own and like, wait, repeat that one more time.
That's incredible. I got Paquito, yo playing varsity basketball. You're over there being the MVP in the NBA.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And talking about sports, like we were just talking off air. It's like sometimes we feel that we have to do it by ourselves, but we don't.
Right. That's the most important part, right, Mauricio?
Absolutely. A multifamily, it's a teamwork. If you want to get far, you have to do it with a team.
Yeah, man. So apart from that, like, introduce yourself, let tell your story to our community, and man, let us know.
Thanks for the space. I really appreciate it. So my name is Mauricio Ramos. I'm from Mérida, Yucatán in Mexico. I grew up in Matamoros, Tamaulipas. I was there all the way through high school. I went to Colegio Don Bosco in Matamoros. And then my dad sent me to college in the United States. So I came to Texas for a civil engineering degree in Texas A&M University. Graduated there and stayed in Texas. So I came here under a student visa. And I stayed under work visas in the United States working for construction, in the construction industry as a project manager for 10 years. So that's kind of where I got all my experience in the construction side. So growing up, I mean, I didn't have a silver spoon.
Yeah.
We didn't need anything. We always had a roof over our heads and we always had food on the table. But, you know, my parents did a lot of sacrifices to, you know, put us where we're at and to put us through, you know, good schools and send us to college and stuff like that. So we're very appreciative of that. But we really learned they taught us how to fish. They didn't give us the fish. So they really taught us how to work. So I guess that really has helped me, you know, get formed and get, you know, principles to where I'm at.
That's good. So then after that, you were raised in what state? In Texas, right?
And I was raised in Matamoros, Mexico. Okay. That's border town with Brownsville, Texas.
Yep.
Cool. And then from there, when did you come to the U.S.?
After I graduated high school, in Matamoros, in Mexico, I came to Texas for university, for college. I went to UT Brownsville. So I remember vividly a quick story about that. I remember vividly that I wanted to go to Tec de Monterrey because all my friends were going there. So I wanted to go there. I remember one of my friends picked me up to drive to Monterrey for a test, for like the admission test. And I said, hey, dad, you know, I'm ready. We're going. They're here to pick me up. And he said, no, you're not going. And, you know, I made, hice bastante berrinche. And he didn't send me. He said, if I had the ability to put you through a first world country university education, I will. And he did. And he made me sign up for UT Brownsville, University of Texas in Brownsville. Later on, I transferred to Texas A&M University. And then I graduated as a civil engineer.
Cool. Nice. So then after that, you went into the 9-to-5 as a career in engineering?
Yes. And, you know, man, construction, unfortunately, is not a 9-to-5. It's like a 7-to-7 kind of work. So, and then it's like six days a week, I mean, sometimes 7 days a week. So, yes, for 10 years, I worked in the construction industry. I learned a lot. And about 8 years into construction, in 2015, that's when I started learning about construction. I'm sorry, about real estate. Got introduced to real estate. And by one of my interns in the construction industry, actually, who now is my business partner, but at the time he was my intern, he got introduced to single family real estate. And I started educating myself, started, you know, learning a lot, reading books. And that's when I really started changing my mindset. When I said, hey, you know, this is not where I want to be the rest of my life working and, you know, retire when I'm 65. And so that's kind of when I started realizing that. And then that's when I bumped into multifamily and then started growing my career in multifamily.
Wow. So once you got that seed planted into your mind, that obsession that it started becoming, I could picture myself like, okay, cool. I'm going to get an investment property, you know, but, you know, it's one or two. How do you go from, let me get into this and have 234 units and closing on 30 something now? Like, that's a big leap. Like, how did that, how did you go from an engineer? Because there's going to be a lot of listeners right now. They're like, man, I'm one conversation away from success. Please just let me know. And right now we're having a conversation with Mauricio, someone that has the, had the career from 7 to 7 that a lot of people are wanting to hear your words. Like, how did you go from that to almost 300 units in 2019?
For sure. I'll be happy to share it. So, and I'll give you kind of where I'm at right now. I'm 34 years old. I live in San Antonio, Texas. Been here since 2014. Married to my wife, Dominga, since last year. So my wife and I own De Medici Group. It's a multifamily real estate investing firm. And now we own, we're invested in 234 units across Texas and control over $2 million in assets. So in 2015, that's when I got introduced to single family real estate, started educating myself. And my first deal, and I know we, before we talked about mentors, and this is where kind of my first mentor comes in. I bought my first deal with the help of my mentor, Rick Pozos. I bought a mobile home, not mobile home part, just the mobile home, just the vehicle. And it was an older mobile home. I fixed it up and owner financed it, which is still paying, the person that bought it still paying the note. So I'm still cash flowing out of that. And so since then, I did another mobile home and then same process, then wholesale a couple of houses. And then that's when I found multifamily and really fell in love with multifamily. Real quick about multifamily, it works more based on numbers versus single family, which is more based on comps and what the market is doing and what's happening around the neighborhood. So me being an engineer, the numbers made a lot more sense in my head. So that's why I fell in love with multifamily. And then again, started reading more books, listening to thousands of hours of podcasts about multifamily and going to seminars. And I started doing some direct mail campaigns to multifamily properties in Texas. So basically saying, hey, you're sending a postcard saying, hey, I want to buy your apartment complex. Let me know if you're interested. And started getting phone calls. So in September 2017, that's when I started doing my campaigns. And in December 2017, I bought my first 10-unit apartment complex. This is in Pleasanton, Texas. It's a small town south of San Antonio. And you know, I bought it seller finance, so I didn't have to get a bank. It was like a 7% down, 0% interest, and just a great financing deal. And actually, yesterday I just closed on selling this property. So I fixed up this property, 10 units, raised the rents, increased the net operating income of the property, brought a lot better, you know, tenant mix, and was able to do 159% total return on investment on this property.
And that is in 2 years, 2017.
18 months. Yes.
18 months. And I want to talk about that. That's like, and we'll continue. It's the rental versus single family. Whereas a single family is depending, like you said, on the market, on the white picket fence, on the emotion of the buyers. Is it a seller's market, a buyer's market? What you're saying is that when it's rentals, we're talking about the business financials. It's what brings the value of properties.
Exactly. That is exactly correct. So these properties, commercial real estate, it's valued on the net operating income of the property, which is the income minus the expenses, pretty much. That is before debt service, and that includes taxes and insurance, just so it doesn't get confused with PITI.
And that's what the engineer came in. You like the numbers is what matters to me, not the white picket fence and how the market is doing.
Exactly. So when you buy a property like this, and we specialize in value add property. So you buy a property that need some love. Maybe it's being mismanaged somehow. The rents are low or lower at least than the area. There's room for improvements. You can maybe add some amenities. Maybe you can add a couple of units. And you know, of course, you can raise the rent, lower the expenses. And then by doing that, you're increasing the NOI. So by increasing the NOI, you're increasing the value of the property. So in a few years, you can either refinance or sell the property and make a lot of money.
Now, quick question, Mauricio. As a lender that I am, you hit a really good point. I'm like kind of like, I can't wrap my hands around this. Okay. So you mentioned seller finance, right? You said you found something for 10 units. Me personally, I've always bought four properties and under, just because you could get finance a lot easier, a lot cheaper. It's a lot more obtainable. I personally have stayed away from commercial because anything commercial is five and above. It's tougher to get it approved through a bank because it is a lot tougher. You need more assets. You need better everything, better income, better credit, better everything. It's a lot tougher. It's a whole other jargon when it comes to qualifying versus residential stuff. Now, you mentioned seller finance, right? My question is this. How did you manage to convince the seller to finance you, one? Number two, 0%? Did I hear right?
That's correct. Right? 0%.
I'm just like, how? So how did you do that?
Magic. No, nice. I'm just kidding. So typically the offers that we send have three options. One is cash.
Okay.
The other one is some kind of seller financing, or maybe the seller can carry back a portion and then we bring in a bank.
Okay. Like a 50-50 or a private thing?
Maybe like an 80-20, 70-30 kind of thing. Right.
Okay.
But then many times our third option is completely seller finance. And then depending on the deal, we throw of course the purchase price, it's going up from the first to the second and from the second to the third. So sometimes depending on the property, we throw in a 0% interest on the last option, which, you know, it might be the property's for sale at 200,000, then, you know, okay, we offer you 220, and then no interest, right? So for some people, 220 sounds a lot better than 200, but if you do the math and add the interest, you know, with interest, that is 400, right?
So,
don't get me wrong. I mean, this seller was very smart. He's been doing real estate for the longest time, but he just wanted out of the property.
Yeah.
Most of the time, when you'll find an individual that is willing to seller finance a property, they are tired landlords.
Oh yeah.
In a retiring age.
Yeah.
And they don't want to get hit by the IRS.
Right. No, también eso tiene que ver mucho. It's funny because you mentioned a lot of the times, me as a landlord, I sometimes you just honestly feel like throwing in a towel. I mean, it's not like Paco and I make it sound, oh my God, buy investment property and that's it. Just lay back in the beach somewhere, drink your Corona. It doesn't work that way. So, right? I wish it would, but it doesn't. So,
I wish, yeah.
Right? So be very picky on tenants because they can either make or break any type of investment. And I think that's what happened with this landlord. It sounds to me that he was just fed up with the BS because there is professional tenants out there. And I use that term, Texas and California. These two states, we tend to spoil tenants. We tend to spoil employees. Honestly, it's how it is. And there's people that thrive on that. They want to see how they could sue, how they could do this and they could do that. So I think that's probably what happened with this guy. You got him at a good time. It's not that you got lucky. It was just your timing. You were ready for the opportunity.
Yep.
It knocked and you opened the door and
Conrad, isn't that what they call luck when preparedness meets opportunity?
Yeah.
Exactly. He just got lucky, Mauricio. But then all of us. But then,
luck.
But you know what? He was prepared for it,
he
bro.
Was ready.
Because
was ready.
Like, from his story, this is what I'm getting. Two things that are super, super important. And this is what I think, Mauricio. Like, you didn't go for the big red hotel.
Yeah.
right away, like in Monopoly.
Right.
No, no.
You started small.
Started with Baltic.
With motorhomes, bro. Like a lot of people are not even thinking. I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy me a freaking apartment complex. Like, dude, like chill, like relax. Let's start small. Right. Start with something that's doable. A motorhome. Mauricio, before you start thinking like, oh, 234 units, he started with a motorhome. Right. Number one. That's how he started.
And up in the analogy real quick, Paco. It's like buying the Baltic Mediterranean right at the beginning. The purple ones, the crappy ones that pay $2 in rent. That's what you bought. Okay, go ahead.
But then, yeah. So you start with something. That's the important part of starting. And then that gives you something more important, right? Experience.
Yes.
The
you can't buy that.
Right.
And then the other part, I want Mauricio to be like, this is what he is. He's a salesperson.
Of course.
At the end, if I could give anybody one of the best skills that you could ever have for any job, it's sales.
Yep.
Selling skills. Because then it gets you creative. Fair. The art of negotiating. You kept talking about how did you convince this person to do this? Seller financing? I thought I had to go to the bank.
I know.
No, Mauricio starts kind of finding ways, and that's how you get to these things.
Get
you
creative.
Find a way. You become a salesperson.
That's
like
right.
That is one of the most important skills in this country, which is sales.
And unfortunately, it's dying, dude. With this technology and iPads and the texting and all that. That stuff is going away. People are not learning that stuff. But it's never going to go away. We always need it. We need people skills. We need people to run businesses. And honestly, if you don't have those skills, you're not going to make it. Regardless of how many education and careers and bachelor's and degrees, it doesn't even matter. At the end of the day, it's how well you negotiate, right? Mauricio, you could attest to this. You have to.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Dude, negotiating is key in this. And
huge.
Going back to real quick to two things that you mentioned. I think you mentioned about where I got started. I think the key part about that is starting. The word starting, started, whatever it is. Just, you know, I start with a mobile home. And also another thing that you guys mentioned, lucky, I consider myself blessed versus luck.
I agree.
But I agree with, being prepared and the opportunity brings the deal. One of the first like mind blowing things that happened, with my second mobile home, I owner financed it for like $18,000. And so this guy, paid me $10,000 cash. So I had never seen $10,000 cash in my hand. So it's like, wow, this works. $10,000 and he still owes me $8,000 and he's going to pay me $8,000 for the next whatever, right? So that was one of the first like, all right, this I'm going in the right direction.
Wow, so cool. So then I'm visualizing as a listener, it's like you started with the motorhome, you get the 2017, you get the 10 unit purchase. Then what happened? How did it go from 10 to 234?
Right. So right after I acquired the 10 unit, I got under contract an 8 unit in Kingsville and did a wholesale. So a wholesale is just basically assigning your right to buy the property. So you get it under contract for 10 and you assign it for 11 and then you make one, right? So this one I wholesaled and made a 5-figure fee on it. And then after that, I found a 24 unit in downtown San Antonio, prime location. And I made a 6-figure fee on wholesaling this property. So that really put me in the next level to, be able to pay for a mentorship and then buy into other properties. And be able to start educating myself more seriously. And that's when I started syndicating. Syndication means, bringing a group of investors and buying a property together or a business. In this case, it's a multifamily property. So I syndicated a 16 unit, and along with my business partner, we syndicated a 16 unit apartment complex in January this year. and then a 32-unit apartment complex in July. And also, I got invested in a 152-unit in Fort Worth.
Damn, dude.
So
amazing.
So I feel like, I feel that at this point, the journey starts with something so small. Like you just start pulling a loose thread and then you start seeing where it takes you. And then from like, I got one thing from you right now where you started talking about syndicating the property. It's like how I see it about the Lone Ranger versus the team, right? Yep. Where alone you might go faster, but together you will go farther.
Yep. As he is.
Exactly. Yep.
It's funny because I'm hearing you and I'm picking out these words. I'm like, in my mind, they're getting highlighted like digitally in my mind. And the words that stand out was paid for mentorship. I don't know if you caught that. People, the ego, you got to let that set aside. Don't think because, oh, I did well in the past, I know it all. Or I don't need to learn from anyone. When you said paid, that's like, what? You know, and Paco and I, we've talked to millionaires and they all tell us, hire a coach. I was like, huh? We were lost at first. And then if it makes sense. Like you think Kobe and Michael Jordan, they had to pay somebody to master their art even more and more skillful. Sometimes we got to do that. And you mentioned that you hit it right on the nose. And you mentioned the word mindset, self-educated, all these words. They're not there. And you didn't say them because of coincidence. We've been saying them in our podcast for many episodes now. And all of these things, they're not going away. That's what they have in common. All these people, you, Mauricio, and other people we talk to, it's the same thing over and over. ¿Sí o no, Paco?
Yeah. And I mentorship is not like the it's going to be free. I guess that's the main part. Sometimes you want it so bad that as soon as you make that little extra money, you don't invest it into whatever business you want to get. You invest it in the most important real estate in the world, which is between the 6 inches between your ears. That's right. And what did you do? Exactly. You said one thing that as soon as I had a little extra money, I used that money to buy into mentorships. Tell me more about that.
Correct. So I joined I knew about them already. I just wasn't ready when I first learned about this program. Brad Sumrock, he is a mentor. He's in Dallas and he has a big group of investors in mentorship for multifamily, specifically multifamily investors. I mean, there are investors from across the entire United States. A lot of them are in Texas just because he's here. But so I knew about them. I went to a couple of conferences up in Dallas and, you know, learn about them and got to know a lot of the people, but just wasn't ready financially to do it. And, you know, as soon as I got this six-figure fee, I joined the group. And, you know, it just opens doors that you cannot imagine, all the way from education, seminars, being able to getting to know these people that have been doing this thing for years, that you can just pick up the phone and make a quick phone call and you can get answers to any questions that you have. And, you know, opportunities to invest in other deals as well is just almost infinite once you join a mentorship group like this.
And it wasn't free for you, right? You paid to be in that group.
Right. For this one, I paid $5,000.
Yeah. And the reason, thank you for letting us know, because a lot of people are going to be like, well, like I want it for free or I need to find it on YouTube. Yeah. Like, no, like where do you find mentors? You find them anywhere. Of course, there are people that you could reach out like me, Conrad, and yourself. But if you want to scale and take it to another level, you want to be surrounded with people that make you feel like poor, that make you feel the least important, like least intelligent person in the room, because that's what you want to be, because they will pull you, right? But a lot of times, like, where do you find mentors? Well, then go to conferences. Like, you will start, like, oh, no, I don't do that seminar stuff. That's corny or cheesy. I'm like, well, then go, because from there, you will network. And like I always say, you are one conversation away from success. a lot of the times we are cock blocking ourselves and we say, oh, it's too cheesy and I'm not going to go. I'm like, come on. Like, there's a seminar and there's a conference for everything in your local town for anything that you want to do. So just go and you will have that one conversation that you are away from success. Like,
absolutely.
Isn't that what you did? Like, you started going to these conferences and you started surrounding, like, okay. And I'm assuming in those conferences, they started selling their mentorship program, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I started going to this conference that were, you know, a couple hundred bucks. And then that's when they, you know, upsell, for the, you know, 1 year of mentorship or stuff like that. But, and I had gone to a few, and like you said, networking, it's absolutely a very important thing. You have to talk to other people. Creo a veces también como mexicano, el orgullo de uno
no te deja.
Eso a veces como latino puede ser. But yeah, really going back to going to the seminars, it is key that you go learn from other people and be open. And like you said, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, it's true. And what I'm trying to get from here is like, you cannot imagine just the investment of you wanting to learn. Like, for example, who knew that a $10 book that I bought, Rich Dad Poor Dad, was going to change my life? Who knew that something so cheesy like me going to a seminar and go rah rah, you know, like all that stuff that I paid $200 or $300 for was going to change my life? It's like you keep graduating from this, you know, from free podcasts, from free YouTube. You start buying the book, you start getting in the mindset, then you want to experience it in person. So you start going to the conferences for the weekend. But then once you're in the week, like in those, like, the extra little step is the scary part. Like, literally, I'm not throwing $10 or $100. Exactly. It's a thousand. And that's when you are mentally prepared, because when you throw the $1,000 mentorship is because you are mentally ready for it. If you don't, if you're not willing to invest $1,000 into your mindset, into your own life, into your success, then you're not ready for success. Pero qué bien, go spend $100,000 in a degree that you might not even use.
I know, right?
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Oh man, yeah. Dude, yeah, absolutely.
If you think about that, I know hundreds and thousands of students out there signing their lives away. Like nothing. They see it normal. And that's the normal thing to do.
At least this investment that you're going to be doing in mentorship or in a conference is a business write-off.
That's right.
And an education expense. That loan that you're getting for $100,000, you can't even go… You can't declare bankruptcy on that.
No. Plus interest. They're going to charge interest todavía.
Right. I was just going to mention a quick tip that a lot of multifamily investors use in for… you know, preparing for the children's college. So one of the techniques, and we're about to do this, me and my wife, we don't have kids yet, but we're starting to work on it. So one of the plans is we're going to buy an apartment complex. We have in mind a 6-unit apartment complex right now. So we're going to buy it and amortize it, you know, and for 18 years. So we're going to pay it off in 18 years. So when our first child is 18 years old, we either sell the property or refinance it. And there it is. That's the money for college.
Bro, that is what the wealthy are doing. They do what they do. Trusts. They build corporations for their kids. they get these corporations. They put properties inside. And then they have the corporations actually pay for the education. Like a lot of these wealthy people, literally they say, hey man, I only pay myself $40,000 a year in W-2 and that's my taxable income. Yep. But they don't own anything. They control everything. And they control them through LLCs, corporations, trusts. Yep. And that's how they are able to pass on wealth, right?
Exactly. That's exactly correct. That's how it's done.
Right. So how did you go from the 10 to the 230? So you got into the mentorship, and how was that experience, that big one? Like, what was that one big deal? Like, holy crap, this is a grand slam.
Well, so this, for example, that 24 unit, just getting a six-figure check. I mean, the check was about three times as much as I did in my W-2 job.
Wow.
One check. It's just, wow. I mean, if I continue working for three more years, and then that's, you know, pre-tax and post-tax, right? So mm-hmm. I get to do write-offs off these six-figure check. But I don't of my W-2 income, so that's when it's just I'm in the wrong I'm in the wrong business. So that's that. Right after that, it's when I quit my job, and I mean it was planned. But that a few months after that, I quit my job and then just went 100% into real estate.
Bro, like I could just picture you did what a lot of the people I would want that listen to this podcast, which is to quit the W-2 employee to go into the corporate life, where you mentioned something that in when you are getting paid through your W-2, you cannot write those off. But when you're getting paid through like a contractor or you get paid like that, there's a lot of things you could write off, like your education. I bet you that mentorship, that mentoring program, or even your automobile that you have to use, like all these little things. And of course, as going from the W-2 to a corporate mentality, you don't take vacations as a W-2, you take business trips.
Right? Yeah.
And everything is written off because it's not a vacation, it's a business trip. And all of that's write off for your taxes.
Exactly. Absolutely. So actually, me and my wife have a management LLC. We're both a member of a management LLC that we own that manages our properties. So when me and my wife go have dinner, and it's a business dinner, so I can write it off because we're both members of the LLC and we were talking about business, and it's a write off.
The system, and I want to come with that. Like that part is going to be a mind blowing part to like a thing for a lot of people. Like, what are you talking about dinner? Like, it's a write off. Like, yes, it is. And the system is not broken. The system was designed this way. And if you look, and I don't know if I mentioned in another podcast, but the tax code, the IRS tax code is about 83,000 pages long. About 700 or 800 pages is how to pay taxes. The other 82,000 pages of the tax code is how to avoid paying taxes legally.
Right.
So imagine the system was created this way, but 95% of the people are just stuck in those 700 or 800 pages. Hey, préstame tu hijo para que me den más en mi tax return. I'm like, that does not make sense. Why would I trade a dollar para que me regresen 25 cents? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I'm going to pay a dollar so you could give me back 25. When the system is made this way with 82,000 pages of the tax code of how to avoid paying taxes, like business dinners, business trips, a business automobile. Like, that is where I would want our listeners to graduate from a W-2 mentality to a wealth corporate life. Like, that's what I say, a corporate life.
Absolutely. I'll share a little experience that I had, you know, with my tax-wise, fiscally. So I've outgrown two CPAs by now. So I started with this guy that he started with when I first started my first LLC, and I went to do the taxes. You know, he was able to help me with the first couple of mobile homes. And then the following year, I had the 10 unit and I had, you know, the seller financing thing, and I had a few things going on. And literally, he, after like 10 minutes of reviewing the paperwork, he said, "I'm sorry, you have to find somebody else. I don't know how to do this." So, all right, so here I am. I found somebody else. She was able to help me out. And then the following year, you know, I got this six-figure check. It's like, man, I need to be smart about this, and you know, try to keep most of that money, right, and not give it to the IRS. So then I, you know, I went and hired one of the most well-known real estate CPAs in San Antonio, and there's a cost to it, but you know, the amount of money that you get to keep compared to what you pay him is nothing.
Dude, that's smart.
That's what I would want to do, right? Graduate from CPAs.
Honestly.
Like, yeah. You move up on CPAs.
The good growing pains. Right.
Man, so what I want, I think from the last 35 minutes that we've been listening to, it's possible. Like, you just have to start somewhere. Start with motorhome. Start with something. And just being in the business, you're going to start knowing a little bit more and surrounding yourself, rubbing shoulders with other people. Then you start going into other deals. You start getting into deals that sometimes you can't even do by yourself anymore. Then now you start gathering people. And once you start gathering people like that and you start getting that little paycheck, then you move up from CPA, from H&R Block, right? From the Liberty Tax.
Right.
And then you start moving up and up. And then guess what?
Dude.
Look at what Mauricio, in 2015 to now, right? Yep. In 4 years.
Yes, sir.
You are owning almost 300 units. What I want people to know is that anybody can, right? It's not rocket.
Absolutely.
This, what you're doing is not set up for specific group of people. Like, now in the age of technology, I honestly feel that in the age of technology and information, ignorance is a choice.
So. Big choice. And a lot of the time, speaking of ignorance, they always use the excuse, well, it takes money to make money. True, you're right. But it's not necessarily the truth all the time, because look at Mauricio, is the exception. You did not come from a wealthy dad, right, Mauricio?
That's correct. I did not.
Okay. Did you get a $1 million loan, como a certain president dice? Oh, I just got a little $1 million. Did you get that?
No, I did not.
Started from scratch. No. You see, right? Started little, but como dijiste earlier, Mauricio, la cosa es empezar. And then people want to do it perfectly from the beginning. Oh. It's okay. Do a trial and error. It's okay.
Oh, man.
That's how we grow.
Yeah. So there's one thing that comes to mind is we always say that there's, in doing what we do, is there's three things. You either have the time or the hustle, or there's three things to have: time, hustle, or money. So typically you have two of them.
Yeah.
So you just have to find somebody else that has the other one, and then
there you go.
Partner up and do it together. Typically, you just have to, and you know, most of the times when you're starting, if you're young, you likely have time and hustle and not a lot of money, right?
Right,
man, that's awesome. If you don't have the time, find the hustle and find the money. And if you got the money, find someone that has the time and the hustle. So at the end, you might have two.
You gotta have two. You hire the third. But I'm easy, pretty much. When you're older, like to have the money. I'll have the hustle. Don't have the time. I'm too busy.
Don't have the time.
Going to Dubai and whatnot. So I'll hire somebody that has time, you know?
Man. That's awesome. I really appreciate you coming into the party. And mostly, more than importantly, that you wanted to give back to our community, because you reached out, you wanted to share your story, and you wanted to just relate, like have people relate, like you can do it as well. And even me speaking with you, like, I want to get to 200, 300 units.
Imagine.
Like, dude. Where can people find you? Like, if someone wants to reach out and just ask you a question or so, where can people reach out to you?
For sure. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram as MauRMS. So MauRMS for my last name, Ramos. MauRMS. My webpage is demedicigroup.com. That spells D-E-M-E-D-I-C-I group.com. And my email is Mauricio@themediciGroup.com. Nice. We also, just going to mention that we also hold an meetup every third Wednesday of the month here in San Antonio called Multifamily Invest Differently. So, you know, if anybody's in town, feel free to, you know, find us on meetup.com and feel free to come by and we'll be happy to talk.
People that are around your area that are listening, this is your opportunity. Whoever is listening and lives around there, man, I don't even care if I have to drive 4 or 5 hours. If you're around that area,
you better go.
Like, this is your opportunity that you've been wanting, you know, and preparedness. When opportunity meets preparedness, that's when you got lucky, right? Mauricio, I really want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Like, thank you for giving back. Thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for coming on, man. Any last words?
just really want to say thank you for having me. I really appreciate the space. And like you said, just wanted to share my story and, you know, encourage other people that, you know, I wasn't even born in this country and, you know, here I am. So I've never been illegally in the country, but, you know, I know people, the citizens, and speak better than English than I do. And, you know, they have 100 excuses on why they cannot get started. So if anybody wants to, you know, get started in multifamily, have any question analyzing a deal or need any feedback or anything, feel free to reach out via email and, you know, I'll be happy to help with what I can.
Cool. Hey, man, Mauricio, thank you very much, bro. We really appreciate you. Yeah. And thank you, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Gracias, eh? Thank you.
Sí, gracias a ustedes. Andale.